With Christy in the lead, they headed back for the sledge. They reached the side of the cave-in.
Holy shit! He's gone!
What?
The stoner, he's gone!
Ryan pushed past her. One look told him she was right.
Not good.
Something or someone had shifted the chunks of glass and pulled the body free. All that was left were strips of shredded clothing. He turned to Christy. In his badge's glow, he saw her prehensile hair drawing up in tight coils.
Did you hear that, lover?
It was nasty hot underground. Gradually, the day's heat had built up inside the tunnel, until by late afternoon it was an airless furnace. In the greenish twilight of rad badges and glass-filtered sun, crouching human forms made animal growling sounds as they circled. JB watched yet another fight unfold beside the row of sledges at the shaft's end.
Give me those back, you bastard!
Ah, fuck you, bitch!
The rock axes made mean hand-to-hand weapons. The armorer wondered what one of them would do to a battlesuit's helmet. Probably nothing. Or the otherworlders wouldn't have passed them out so freely. Probably couldn't even get near a helmet with one. The axe head would clang harmlessly sideways before contact, just like a 9mm slug. The odds were stacked against the lone guy trying to protect his cart. He had three raggedy-ass thieves coming at him, taking turns ducking in and out, trying to get him to commit himself and expose a weak point for the others to attack. These were the same three scumbags who'd been working over the end of tunnel sledge lineup for half an hour. They took note every time somebody dumped a bag of ore in a cart. Then they'd wait until the guard was alone and close in and take some of it. Sometimes all it took was a show of force to get what they wanted. Other times, like this one, it took more. If JB hadn't been charged with protecting the boy in Gabhart, he would have walked over and stuck his axe in and put an end to the harassment forever. As it was, he could only be a spectator in other people's trouble. The boy didn't like doing nothing about it either, he could tell.
I said give them back!
The guy guarding the cart finally made a move, took a big swing at one of the thieves, and missed.
Ha! Missed, dumbass!
The other two were on him before he could get the axe back up to block. They didn't hit him with the pointy ends, instead they shattered his left elbow and right collarbone with the flat sides of their axes. His arms hanging limp, the poor bastard staggered against the wall and slipped down to his butt. The thieves didn't bother finishing him off. He was already done for. Unable to lift another piece of ore, he'd earned his last cup of water.
Don't leave me like this! Please! Take my ore! Just help me!
You should have helped yourself earlier and just given us the fucking ore!
Oh, please! For God's sake!
None of the slaves standing around the other sledges did or said anything. They watched the thieves push their sledge over to the wounded man's cart and take every piece of ore he had. Even though the slaves knew the three bastards would surely victimize them next, they were relieved that it had happened to someone else this time.
Hey, everybody down here's crazy.
The thieves started shoving their loaded cart back toward the mine entrance. In doing so, they had to pass JB and Dean. The armorer took a good long look at them. All three wore overcoats so greasy it was impossible to tell what their original color had been. Their side pockets bulged with dead rats, the tails sticking up stiff as sticks. From their expressions, they thought they had surviving Ground Zero all figured out. They didn't collect ore for water or hunt the dark tunnels for food. They stole it, which meant they lived longer because they didn't spend as much time in the high rad zones. One of the thieves looked into their cart, an appraising look, just to see how the ore collection was going for future reference. All he saw in there was Gabhart, unconscious.
What are you looking at, punk?
Dog shit walking.
At once, Dean had his axe up, ready to strike.
Yeah!
The man looked at the boy, and at JB, who rested nice and relaxed on the rim of the cart.
Hey, I'm just making the best out of a bad situation, Four Eyes. Just like you'd do if you had any balls.
We got nothing for you scabs. Fuck off.
We'll be back.
Looking forward to caving in your head.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Is he gone?
JB, the colonel's waking up.
Gavhard stirred in the bed of the cart. He moved his arms and opened his eyes.
Damn. I dreamed I was already dead. Until that asshole woke me up with his laughing. It was such a fucking happy dream.
Come on. Let's get you out of there.
JB and Dean helped the officer to a seat on the floor, propping his back against the wall.
We need to know more about these manacles. How do they work? What sets them off?
Gavhard stared at him blankly for a moment, and JB thought he was going to pass out again.
They're linked to the satellite's ground position locator, which divides the planet into grids. A computer somewhere in the Slake City compound controls which grid sectors trigger the cuffs. When you cross into one of those sectors, the lasers automatically fire. The slaves here have one activation setting. Slave catchers have another. Ours is on either side of the road and outside the mine's perimeters.
Can we get them off without setting them off?
No. If you try, they'll fire. They have to be deactivated at the control source.
How do we do that?
Smash the computer. If there's no link with the satellite, there's no way to trigger the cuffs.
Sounds easy enough.
There's another possibility, of course. There could be a fail-safe measure in place.
What would that be?
When the satellite signal's broken, all the cuffs activate. Probably.
JB caught the boy staring at the dull silver bands around his wrists. He put his hand on Dean's shoulder and gave it a gentle squeeze.
Nothing for you to worry about now, boy. We're a long way from making that move. But if it turns out that's our only chance to get free, we've got to take it. We've got to find a way to get back there and pull the plug. What is it, Colonel?
Sorry. The pain. My mouth's so dry. My tongue split. My gut hurts to high heaven. It feels like they're on fire.
Hang on, brother. Try to hang on. We need to know about the battle suits. Do they have a weak point?
Gavhard sagged over onto his side.
Colonel? Colonel?
Gavhard couldn't hear JB. He'd passed out again. Duck tried to stay close to Jack's heels as he scrambled through the maze of side tunnels and man-sized crevices. In the light of Doc's rad badge, the albino's long hair reflected back a shocking green, and he moved with an economy of motion and a split-second decisiveness that the old man couldn't hope to match. It was more a glide than a trot. Effortless. They had already dumped off one load of ore, about 150 pounds of it. By Doc's estimation, it was going to take 30 more trips to fill the cart. At 15 to 20 minutes per trip, it would be 8 to 10 hours before they'd have more water. Doc was relieved when Jack slowed his breakneck pace down the tunnel. They began looking into the intersecting crevices and holes for a likely place to collect more super-hot ore. As the old man glanced down a narrow side seam, a set of eyes flashed back in his badge's light. It was so startlingly close that he jumped back a step.
Whoa!
Suddenly, the eyes were gone.
What in Hades was that?
Sticky. Crawling through cracks. Inside walls up to ceiling. Over there now. Hear him?
Doc had to admit that he couldn't hear anything, but he took the youth's word for it. He felt damnably naked without his Lama. The pickaxe he'd been issued was no substitute for 9.44 caliber lead balls. The corridor they were following zigzagged back and forth before it opened onto the high-domed expanse of a partially collapsed bubble. A huge interior space, it was too broad for their badge lights to reach the other side. They could see the ceiling, though. To Doc, it looked like a vast, curved mirror, blurred by swirls and ripples. Jack found the place unattractive for strategic reasons.
Too big. Too dark. Can't stay here.
Help me! Help me!
Hear that one, Doc?
Why, yes. But I cannot see where the poor soul is.
Me neither. Maybe a trap. Could be Stickies.
Most Stickies cannot form words, dear lad.
Could have prisoner. Use his bait. Make him talk.
Should we not inquire further? What is your situation?
I'm caught in a cave-in. My legs are pinned. And there's a blockage against the inside of my groin. It's too heavy to move. If I try, it will sever my femoral artery. Please help me.
Whoever he is, Mr. Lauren, he has at least a cursory knowledge of anatomy. An educated man, perhaps. A rarity in these wild parts. Shall we take a closer look?